Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, July 16th, 2020. COVID-19. Doctor, residents lying may contribute to long waits. By Caitlin Randall. There is a concern among medical professionals that some residents are lying about being exposed to the coronavirus so they can get tested, which may be creating longer wait times at healthcare facilities, according to a doctor with Signature Care Emergency Center. Dr. Hashabul Hanan, a laboratory director with Signature Care, said staff have no way to verify if a patient has been exposed to the virus. They often find out later someone misled doctors about their risk of exposure to be cleared before traveling or doing other activities, he said. An uptick in those seeking testing has led to a wait time of 1 to 2 hours at the freestanding emergency room on Wadley Avenue, where staff who previously saw 25 patients a day are now seeing up to 150. Hannon wanted to remind Midlanders that the facility is not a testing site and is meant for medical emergencies. Testing is only available for those with symptoms or those who have had a high level of exposure. If you don't have symptoms or exposure, please don't come in, he said. Signature Care recently implemented an online scheduling system to accommodate the higher patient volume, with appointments that are available 24 hours in advance. Walk-ins are also permitted, but anyone without an appointment should be prepared to wait longer, Hannon said. However, appointments only afford patients relative priority, he said. As is the norm in emergency rooms, if someone is experiencing chest pain or other serious symptoms, that person will be seen first, regardless of having an appointment. Another factor in the long wait line times is a shortage of doctors and nurses, Hannon said. He said many employees have had to quarantine after being exposed to the coronavirus by patients or others in the community. There's not a day that goes by that we don't have someone call out, he said. But despite an increase in tests being administered, Signature Care hasn't experienced the same backlog other health care facilities have with receiving results, according to Hannon. He said results for standard PCR tests and antibody tests are coming back within 1 to 2 days. Signature Care also does rapid testing, which returns results in 15 minutes, Hannon said. The rapid tests never produce false positives, he said, but produce false negatives in about 20% of cases. A test is available to patients without insurance for $175. Although additional testing or treatments will cost more, Hannon said. Any one test we will do for $175, he said. If someone comes in and needs a chest x-ray or breathing treatment, they will incur a higher fee. Midland Memorial Hospital operates two drive-through testing sites available by appointment only for residents with symptoms or a referral from a primary care doctor. A spokesperson said most people who pass a screening will be able to make an appointment the same day or the following day, with a wait time once they arrive at the location between 5 and 15 minutes. Building abatement. Caption reads, workers tethered on ropes inside work to clear caulking and window frames Monday in the former Western Union Life Building in the 300 block of West Texas Avenue as they seal the windows with plastic. The Midland Development Corp. said Wednesday that asbestos removal continues from inside the building. That abatement, officials have said, would have to take place whether the former Western Union Life Building becomes a marquee hotel or just another demolished building. Midland City Councilman Scott Dufault told the Reporter-Telegram in May that the hotel project is on hold right now as both the city and Midway react to the current economic conditions and decide on how to move forward. He said there are extensions to the current contract that both sides must work out. COVID-19. Coronavirus-related deaths rise to 24. Number since July 4th increases to 9. By Stuart Doran. The Midland Health Department reported another 2 Midland County residents have died because of coronavirus-related issues. The 2 were a woman in her 90s and a man in his 80s. She was being treated at Midland Memorial Hospital before passing away on Tuesday. The man was being cared for at Manor Park, according to city officials. He passed away Wednesday. The total number of Midland County residents that have passed away because of COVID-19 issues climbed to 24. That includes 9 since July 4th. The health department on Wednesday also reported 32 new cases of coronavirus, the fewest cases reported during any one day going back to June 26th. The city also reported that the total number of cases during the pandemic has reached 1,298. Of those, 817 are considered active and 457 recovered. Community transmission continues to be number one source of exposure. The health department's report Wednesday shows 21 new cases because of community transmission and 570 total cases during the pandemic. Coronavirus report. Total cases, 1,298. Total tests, 8,596. Gender, male, 620. Female, 678. Age range, 0 to 19 age, Tuesday, 141. Wednesday, 144. 20 to 29 on Tuesday, 337. Wednesday, 343. Age range 30 to 39 on Tuesday, 277, Wednesday, 283. 40 to 49, Tuesday, 187, Wednesday, 192. 50 to 59, Tuesday, 147, Wednesday, 151. Age range 60 to 69, Tuesday, 94, Wednesday, 99. 70 to 79, Tuesday, 47, Wednesday, 49. 80 plus, Tuesday, 36, Wednesday, 37. Patient status. Home isolation on Tuesday, 801, Wednesday, 797. Recovered on Tuesday, 453, Wednesday, 457. Deaths, Tuesday, 22, Wednesday, 24. Hospital, on Tuesday, 18, Wednesday, 17. Nursing rehab on Tuesday, 4, Wednesday, 3. Source of exposure. Community transmission on Tuesday, 549, Wednesday, 570. Contact to a known case Tuesday, 504, Wednesday, 513. Travel related Tuesday, 175, Wednesday, 176. Under investigation, Tuesday, 38, Wednesday, 39. County. MCSO creates position for Community Relations Sergeant by Caitlin Randall. The Midland County Sheriff's Office on Monday, with the approval of the Commissioner's Court, created a new position for a Community Relations Sergeant. Sheriff David Kreiner told the court this person would be responsible for a variety of tasks, including serving as a liaison to the community, working with churches, organizing public events and safety meetings with the public, and providing media updates. I think there is a time in our society that we need to have this position in order to build those relationships with communities in our county, he said. The duties of a community relations sergeant are currently being fulfilled by officers with the sheriff's office, Kreiner said. But with workloads of more than 200 cases a month, those officers can't continue taking on extra responsibilities, he said. Kreiner said the new hire will be answering questions from the media and doing interviews on a case-by-case basis, depending on the investigation. The starting salary will be about $59,000. A motion to create the position passed to a 2-to-1 vote, with Commissioner Scott Ramsey voting against the motion. Ramsey said during the meeting he did not agree with adding a new personnel during an economic downturn. Five Places to Beat the Heat by J.C. Lewis. With a lingering heat wave, Midlanders have some options to cool down. The movie theaters are closed, but people can catch a show at the drive-in. Most ice cream shops are open to help people tackle the heat with some cool treats. Big Sky Drive-In will be showing Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, The Goonies, and The Neverending Story. The drive-in is a great way to cool down while enjoying an older movie on the big screen. Shows begin at 9:20 p.m. Masks are required while in the concession and restrooms. The HEB Splash Pad at American Momentum Ballpark is a great way to cool off. The pad is open until 7 p.m. People can enter from the ballpark's southeast gate. Alley Outdoors Shooting Range, Cafe and Retail Store is open today until 7 p.m. Standard lanes start at $20 per hour. For more information, visit http://alleyoutdoors.com. Pop Bar at Alley Village is also open and serving pop gelato, pop yogurt, and pop sorbet. The Midland County Public Library downtown and Centennial branches are open to the public again. It's a perfect time to go pick up new books for summer reading list. Masks are required. The library has moved most story times online to Zoom and YouTube. The Petroleum Museum is open for normal business hours. Midlanders can cool off while viewing the Chaparral Gallery and the Permian Reef exhibits. Sweet treats to help cool down. Need a cool treat to cool down? Midland's mini ice cream and snow cone shops should help. Cream Lab N7 open until 10 p.m. Fountainville Creamery and Soda Fountain open until 9 p.m. Marble Slab Creamery open until 10 p.m. Southern Snow open until 9 p.m., located in the Youth Life parking lot off of Wadley Avenue. Bahama Bucks open until 10 p.m. Eskimo Hut. Even though bars are closed, those 21 and up can get drive-through frozen margaritas and daiquiris. Just make sure to drink the alcoholic beverages at home to cool down. The store closes at midnight. Streak of 105 degree weather reaches 7. By Stuart Doran. Another day, another record-breaking high temperature. And another day with a high temperature at or above 105 degrees. The National Weather Service reported one of the highest extreme weather periods continued Wednesday as the high temperature at Midland International Airport reached 106 degrees. It was not only a record for July 15th, breaking the old mark, 104, set in 2001, but was the seventh straight day of temperatures at or above 105 degrees. That is the second longest streak in the city's history. The NWS is calling for that streak to end Thursday. The streak of high temperatures reaching 100 degrees will continue at least two more days, according to the National Weather Service forecast. That streak climbed to 8 days on Wednesday. A streak of 10 days would be the ninth longest in the city's recorded history. That streak climbed to 8 days on Wednesday. A streak of 10 days would tie for the ninth longest in the city's recorded history. Either way, it has already been a hot July. the National Weather Service showed the average temperature to be 88.7 degrees prior to Wednesday. The record average for any month in Midland's history is 88.7 degrees. The good news for those tired of the heated temperatures is that cooler, high temperatures are in the forecast. The NWS is calling for highs of 98 or 99 beginning Saturday and continuing into the middle of the week. That is still warmer than the typical high for the middle of July, 95 degrees, but more than 10 degrees cooler than the high on Tuesday, 111 degrees. There is no rain in the 7-day forecast. Ector County warns residents about possible COVID parties by J.C. Lewis. The 22nd Ector County resident has died because of coronavirus-related issues, according to the health department. The patient, a 73-year-old male from Ector County, died on Tuesday night. He was admitted to Medical Center Hospital on July 4th and had pre-existing conditions. MCHS reported he was the 20th resident to die at the hospital. The man was the sixth person in the 70 to 79 age range to pass away during the pandemic. Other age ranges include 90 or older, there are 3, 80 to 89, there are 2, 60 to 69, there are 6, 50 to 59, there's 2, 40 to 49, 1, and age range 30 to 39, there are 2. Dr. Rohith Saravana said that coronavirus affects children differently than adults. One of the things we know about the disease process is that it affects children less severely than adults, he said. It is less likely to cause children to become symptomatic. Even those that become symptomatic, they are less likely to have a severe disease process. There is the one multisystem inflammatory syndrome that is severe in children. Even if they are asymptomatic, we actually don't know what the long-term effects of this disease will be on these children who have it maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, he said. Ector County Commissioner Eddie Shelton said that the public needs to be aware of COVID parties, which public health officials report have been happening among college students. These students have gatherings where someone is known to be COVID-19 positive, is in attendance, and everybody who shows up to the party pays a fee, he said. The first person who tests positive for coronavirus after attending the party is the winner of the money. He said the Ector County Health Department cannot confirm or deny that any such parties have taken place in the community. Saravana said the majority of sentiments toward health care workers in Odessa has been positive. This work that we do as health care workers is hard, he said. Those health care workers who are doing this work and they are investing in care for the community. There are some comments on social media that are discouraging, especially from those people who don't understand the reason for masks, the treatment protocols that we use, and the science behind all of this works. Regardless, the one thing we all agree on is that we need our healthcare workers to be in good physical and mental health to take care of the rest of us for if and when we need it. He encourages people to stay positive to healthcare workers and support them in every way. Coronavirus stats. Medical Center Hospital. MCH is treating 43 coronavirus patients. The hospital has 9 patients in the critical care unit with 5 on ventilators. The critical overflow in the Wheatley Stewart Medical Pavilion has 3 patients, all on ventilators. MCH has tested 4,271 total with 753 positive results and 432 pending tests. Odessa Regional Medical Center. 15 patients being treated at ORMC with 8 on ventilators. Hospital has tested 1,327 with 242 positive results and 47 pending tests. Ector County. The county reported 1,264 active cases with 911 recovered residents. 12,422 total tests have been taken with 811 pending tests. There are 22 reported coronavirus-related deaths of Ector County residents. Virus deaths hit new high in Texas as governor urges masks, by Paul J. Weber and Juan A. Luzano, Associated Press. Austin. Signs in the Texas Panhandle urged voters to wear masks. Polling precincts were already staffed thin because some election workers backed out of the state's primary runoffs, cautious about the coronavirus that socked the rural meatpacking region in May. By and large, most voters covered their faces, even though Texas mask mandate exempts polling locations. Others adamantly made clear they wouldn't. It's kind of along the same lines you see in other parts of Texas. There is a faction, they're not going to wear a mask unless absolutely required, said Melon Huntley, Potter County's election administrator. And even then, they're going to try not to. 2 weeks after Republican Governor Greg Abbott ordered most of the state's 30 million residents to wear masks, Texas is still scrambling to contain one of the biggest coronavirus surges in the United States. And Abbott is stressing that the widespread use of face coverings could avoid another lockdown, one he hasn't ruled out. On Wednesday, Texas again set a new high with nearly 10,800 new cases, along with a record 110 deaths. The rising toll includes 35 deaths that officials on the Texas-Mexico border said happened Wednesday morning alone in Hidalgo County.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, July 16, 2020. Meetings today. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Online, co.midland.tx.us/500/commissioners-court. Midland ISD Board, 4:30 p.m. midlandisd.net/stream. Cargill Foundation donates $100,000 to WTFB. Cargill Charitable Foundation has donated $100,000 to West Texas Food Bank, according to a press release from the foundation that was established in 2016 by Natalie and Mickey Cargyle. The family pays the administrative costs. All donations go to the beneficiary, according to the release. All of our local charities experienced a reduction in donations at the same time that demand for charitable services swelled, said Mickey Cargyle in a statement. We call on everyone, if you have the means, to donate to your local-based charities. Now is the time to help your neighbors. To donate to WTFB, go to WTXFoodBAN.com. MOSC has interim executive director. The Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale Board of Directors recently appointed Ethan Wills as interim executive director, according to a press release. He will replace retiring executive director Jeanette Kolakoff, who have been with the organization since November 2012. Before joining MOSC, Wills was a freelance musician and music educator with Midland ISD, Midland Christian School, Trinity School, and Ector County ISD. He has degrees in music education and music performance and is working toward his PhD in Fine Arts Administration at Texas Tech University. The Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale's 2020-2021 season is scheduled to begin in October and will include 3 masterworks and 4 pops and family concerts. Doug Russell Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during coronavirus pandemic. Doug Russell is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. Passes are good only for the day of purchase. How sick are you? Midland Memorial Hospital offers a nurse triage program, 68 Nurse. The program is designed to help people determine whether their health situation warrants a trip to the emergency room. Midland residents can call the line by dialing 686-8773. The program is free and available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Local nurses are available to help you determine the best place to receive care for your situation. 68 Nurse can help you save time and money by directing you to the most appropriate health care option, whether it's a neighborhood clinic, urgent care center, emergency room, or just staying home. Today in history. Today is Thursday, July 16, the 198th day of 2020. There are 168 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On July 16, 1945, the United States exploded its first experimental atomic bomb in the desert of Alamogordo, New Mexico. On this date, in 1969, Apollo 11 blasted off from Cape Kennedy on the first manned mission to the surface of the moon. In 1973, during the Senate Watergate hearings, former White House aide Alexander P. Butterfield publicly revealed the existence of President Richard Nixon's secret taping system. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Caroline, and her sister Lauren Bessette died when their single-engine plane, piloted by Kennedy, plunged into the Atlantic Ocean near Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. 10 years ago, retired intelligence analyst Kendall Myers, the 73-year-old great-grandson of Alexander Graham Bell, was sentenced to life in prison without parole for quietly spying for Cuba for nearly a third of a century from inside the State Department. His wife, Gwendolyn, was sentenced to 5.5 years. 5 years ago, a jury in Centennial, Colorado, convicted James Holmes of 165 counts of murder, attempted murder, and other charges in the 2012 Aurora movie theater rampage that left 12 people dead.
Intense workout. The caption reads, Midland High football players run drills during morning practice Tuesday at Memorial Stadium. Cargyle Foundation donates $100,000 to WTFB. Cargyle Charitable Foundation has donated $100,000 to West Texas Food Bank, according to a press release from the foundation that was established in 2016 by Natalie and Mickey Cargyle. The family pays the administrative costs. All donations go to the beneficiary, according to the release. All of our local charities experienced a reduction in donations at the same time that demand for charitable services swelled, said Mickey Cargill in a statement. We call on everyone. If you have the means to donate to your local based charities, now is the time to help your neighbors. To donate to WTFB, go to WTXFoodBan.com. Opinion Extra. Costly move approving a PIO for MCSO by Stuart Dorn. The Midland County Sheriff's Office is creating a new position. Community Relations Sergeant will serve as the department's public relations officer. Interesting. I can't say I was particularly thrilled to hear of this expansion of the government, especially paying more for public relations than we do for the people working in the jail. Commissioners approved a $59,000 position to basically have relationships with people living outside city limits, while entry-level jailers taking care of some of the worst characters in Midland County bring home a salary that is more than $10,000 less. But here's the deal. If the MCSO can match the accessibility and information provided by some of the best information officers around, then a potentially head-scratching decision is easier to understand. Our residents deserve the best information possible because that is part of open government. People don't want spin from elected officials. Does that mean county government also needs its own public information officer? That is the problem with opening this door. How will county leaders justify one position and not the other? And when they approve the second information officer, that is another $59,000, give or take. Then comes the hard part of justifying more than $100,000 in salary for information-related services. A public information officer is only as good as the people who supervise him or her. I think it would go a long way helping people understand the need if Sheriff David Kreiner were to outline the day-to-day responsibilities of this new position. We need to know more than what has been reported about the job. This person will serve as a liaison to the community, working with churches, organizing public events and safety meetings with the public, and providing media updates. We need to know why this person is needed and the value of the position compared to the status quo when the cost of doing so now is zero. And county leaders need to be able to look a first-year jailer in the eye and explain the justification of paying a community relations sergeant so much more than what the jailer is making. Also under Opinion Extra by Stuart Doran, county leaders' right to balk at raise for elected officials. Kudos to the Commissioner's Court for holding off on across-the-board raises for all elected officials. While there are good people working hard in elected positions inside the county, it isn't the right time to rubber stamp across-the-board raises, even cost-of-living raises. Randy Prude made sense when he said all Midlanders are going through tumultuous times. This reality is there are Midlanders working at businesses across our city who are on the verge of being unemployed. Government employees generally have job security that isn't felt in the private sector during economic downturns. When sales tax drops, there's rarely talk about laying off people. On the other hand, the fate of an oil worker or restaurant or bar employee is at the whim of a balance sheet. In the private sector, economics often trumps performance. We also agree with Prude that having individual employees offer an appeal for a raise makes sense. Some of us are familiar with employee review programs, which give an employee the opportunity to remind his or her supervisor of their worth to the company. If a county employee can make that case, then they should earn a raise that comes with performing at a higher level. It is easy to see why commissioners balked at an 8% pay increase for elected officials. This year isn't the year, but if an elected official thinks they can make the case for it, then the court should allow that opportunity. Obituaries. Jeannie Carroll Lauderdale. Jeannie Carroll Lauderdale, 58, of Midland, passed away on Monday, July 13, 2020. Graveside services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, July 17, 2020, at Trinity Memorial Park in Big Spring. Jeannie was born on June 8, 1962, in Midland, Texas, to Harvey and Nina Lauderdale. She graduated from Texas Tech with a master's degree in physical therapy. She was an excellent physical therapist and helped so many in need. Being a physical therapist was a gift from God, and she used it to reach out to people as also a way to share her faith in God. Most recently, she was a traveling physical therapist, and her beloved dog, Asta, traveled with her everywhere she went. She was a strong Christian woman, and her unwavering faith in Jesus Christ was evident in her everyday life and her family. She is survived by her sister, Carla Young of Midland, her nephews, Christopher and Matthew Young of Midland, grandmother Hazel Pafford of Fort Worth, numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins whom she was very close to. She is preceded in death by her parents, Harvey and Nina Lauderdale. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Judith K. Tomlin. Judith K. Tomlin, 74, of Midland, Texas, entered into her final rest July 9, 2020. Judith was the daughter of J.B. and Catherine Prewitt, born October 18, 1945, in Lubbock, Texas. She grew up in Rawls, Texas, and is a graduate of Rawls High School, home of the Fighting Jackrabbits. Judith was privileged to have birthed four of the most outstanding, intelligent, talented, and wonderful children. Judith met the love of her life and became Miss David Tomlin on June 12, 1990. The joining of this marriage blessed her with three more children whom she loved dearly. David and Judith shared a special love and companionship for the next 30 years and remained faithful to one another until death separated them. If you were to ask Judith what her greatest love in life was, she would reply, "David, my kids, my grandchildren, Lake Amistad, and especially Las Vegas." Judith is survived by her husband David Tomlin, siblings David Prewitt and wife Sherry, Joanne Gray and husband Steve, children Yvonne Shepherd and husband Tommy, John Worcester and wife Tammy, Brian Worcester and wife Brandy, Catherine Rooster and wife Dr. Kelly Wilkes, J.R. Tomlin and Amy Stevens, Wendy Tomlin, many grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, J.B. and Catherine Prewitt, and son, Brian Tomlin. A memorial service for Judith will be held at Kelvy Heights Baptist Church in Midland, Texas, on Thursday, July 16, 2020, at 10:30 a.m. The family asked attenders to please wear face masks. Mom was a very giving person, therefore the family asked, in lieu of flowers, to please make a memorial donation to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital and or Hospice of Midland for their incredible work. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. L. E. Lee Tenen. Mr. L. E. Lee Tenen was born on August 8, 1927, to the union of Will and Della Tenen, who are deceased, in Wilder, Texas. He met and married Esther DeWitt Irving, also deceased, on April 19, 1948. To this union was born 5 sons. Ellie Jr. is deceased, and 2 daughters. Mr. Tenen was a longtime resident of Midland, Texas, and retired from the Southern Texas Construction Company. He loved playing dominoes and cherished the Dallas Cowboys, winners or losers. He departed this life quietly on Wednesday, July 8, 2020, 1 month prior to his 93rd birthday. He is survived by his sons, Glenn Tenen of Big Spring, Texas, Bobby Tenen of Dallas, Texas, Harold and Ella Tenen of Fort Worth, Texas, Willie and Val Tenen of Conroe, Texas, daughters Esther Jones of Midland, Texas, and Brenda and Randy Sanders of Midland, Texas. 15 grandchildren, 15 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. His legacy of memories will always be cherished by his nieces and nephews. Louis V. Yabara, Sr. Louis V. Yabara, Sr. passed away on July 13, 2020, at the age of 60, in Midland, Texas. Louis was born on August 10, 1959, to Dominga and Simone Yabaro in Pecos, Texas. He later moved to Midland, Texas, where he resided for several years. He was a retired truck driver and a volunteer for the past 2 years at Senior Companion. Louis enjoyed grilling, fishing, and taking trips. Louis is preceded in death by his parents, Simone A. Yabarro and Dominga Villa Lobos, Aunt Vicente Yabarro Montoya, brothers Ronnie Yabarro and Cristobal V. Yabarro, son James Roy Madrid Yabarro, and niece Frances Yabarro Sanchez. He is survived by his spouse Gretchen Dean, brothers Robert Yabarro, Pete Yabarro, and Nacho Yabarro, sister Mary Mata, one son Louis V. Yabarro Jr., and one daughter Crystal Caballero. A visitation will take place on Wednesday, July 15th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home in Midland. A second visitation will be held on Thursday, July 16th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a rosary beginning immediately afterwards at American Heritage. The funeral mass will be held at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine on July 17th at 10 a.m. with burial following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Shane Savage. The family of Shane Savage will celebrate his life of 48 years at 10:30 a.m. today, July 16, 2020, at Southern Rest Baptist Church. He passed away on Sunday, July 12, 2020, from a hard-fought battle with a brain tumor. In support of the health of his family, face coverings are mandatory while attending the service. The service will be live streamed at www.memorialdesigners.net. You are encouraged to sign the virtual guest book and share memories and expressions of sympathy by selecting the icon. Death Notices. Mary Witcher Malden. Mary Witcher Malden, 92, of Midland, passed away May 21, 2020. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, July 18, 2020, at First Christian Church in Midland. Survivors include husband Jim Malden, son Marvin D. Witcher Jr., two brothers, and one sister. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, July 16th, 2020. Front page. More housing. Beaten Bow unveils new line by Tony Venegas. TVENEGAS at OAOA.com. Beaten Bow Homes Area Director Charlie Cook said that ever since the company came to the Permian Basin in 2008, the goal was to fulfill a need for affordable housing in the area. The company took another step toward that end Wednesday when it officially unveiled a new product line of homes in the Permian Basin. The cottage-style homes are three-bedroom, two-bathroom, 1,100 to 1,200 square foot homes designed to be a more affordable option in the area. The company is based in Lubbock but has offices in both Odessa and Midland along with Amarillo. The housing development in Odessa is located off of 98th and Evans Streets on the north side of town, with other units being built in Midland. This home has really helped us with what we're trying to accomplish here because it lowered our entry point starting price by $13,000 in Odessa and $14,000 in Midland, Cook said. As a result of lowering the price, the company says there are 3,200 more families in the Permian Basin who can afford a brand new home. Those numbers are based off a 2019 report from NAHB Classic. Cook, during remarks at a Wednesday news conference, said that the company expects to put 600 families in new homes this year across the area. Cook added that a lot of people have experienced the high rental rates in the area, which currently stand at $1,284 a month in Odessa and $1,452 a month in Midland, according to the latest numbers from Rent Cafe. By comparison, the new homes by Beaten Bow are starting in the $160,000 to $170,000 range. That translates to monthly payments around $1,200. Add that with the market research and analysis that Cook says the company has worked on, and it was imperative to give families another outlet towards home ownership. We can't find a home that is priced at this price point as a new home, Cook said. The closest thing that we can find are homes built back in the 1960s. So we're glad that those are there, but we're determined to make sure that people are getting into new homes where they're proud of what they're moving into. The new development also comes at a time where people are adjusting to the changes brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Providing another option for families dealing with those transitions is something that Midland District 4 Councilwoman Lori Blong complimented. As we see economic turmoil and transition in our community, and we see all the things that we're confronted with right now, we know what those stressors are, and we're all experiencing that stress, Blong said. There's always going to be a need for affordable, reliable homes in our community, and Beaten Bow is providing that. For the homes themselves, Cook said that they already have several units in future phases of construction, with the goal to build two or three units at a time. He said that the build process from start to finish in these homes takes about 6 months. We all want to provide the best that we can for our family, Cook said. For a lot of families, this is that starting point or the finish line. We're happy to be a part of it.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.